This is Leo Babiew for KTWH 99.5 FM, ktwh.org. I have the opportunity to speak right now with Kitty Mayo, a freelance journalist. You may have seen her writing regularly in our North Shore Journal that's distributed throughout the Northland, all across Lake County. Kitty, I'm interested today in talking about a topic that's become an important one for you to research recently, which is in the midst of our COVID-19 epidemic and response, with our case level still not anywhere near leaping ahead in these parts in Lake County. We're in nearby St. Louis County. They've had a number of cases, but we've had our one case identified. But you are very interested in figuring out how contact tracing can become an important element of our response going forward. Do you want to lead me into why contact tracing could be so useful, so pivotal as we go forward?
Indeed. Hi, Leo. Thanks for having me on. I would love to tell you more about contact tracing. I think it's a really important issue to get out to the public so people understand what it is, and when it is presented to them, they can decide if it's something that they want to be participating in. Contact tracing is a very well understood strategy for containing epidemics, and the concept behind it is that when a person tests positive, in this case for COVID-19, since that's what we're talking about, that the people that they have come into close contact with in the very recent past would also be contacted and informed that they have been exposed to someone who's known to be contagious with the virus, and then given an opportunity to self-isolate for a certain amount of time. That's been outlined as 14 days at this point. So I'm just going to back that up a little bit. In Lake County, as you said, there's only been one identified case tested positive for COVID-19 so far, and that was about 2 weeks ago that we got that news. And so far, contact tracing hasn't been necessary because the numbers have been so low. But in talking to experts regionally and also paying attention to national experts and international experts, it seems to be a certainty that we can expect eventually to have a surge in cases in Lake County. When that happens, the most effective way that epidemiologists say that we can contain any outbreaks would be through using contact tracing. So I'll just run through that again. Somebody tests positive for COVID-19, then they let an official know, say somebody at Lake County or possibly regionally from the Community Health Board, which is an oversight agency for a number of communities that includes Lake County, might call that person and say, yes, you have tested positive. That information is not going to be shared with anyone other than the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Health. However, we would like to know who you have had contact with, and probably they'll ask for 2 to 4 days prior to your positive test, because we have found out with COVID-19 that even if you weren't sick, feeling sick, but once you test positive, you almost certainly were contagious prior to that test. So officials are going to want to know who you had close contact with prior to the test for several days.
There's a moment where the question of close contact becomes interesting, mm-hmm. because you might have a short transaction where you're very close to someone and you may not have had mm-hmm. all of the protections of a plexiglass or a mask on. And so is it going to be dependent upon people having a really strong, vivid memory of all those they might have been in close contact with and when?
You've struck on one of the challenges in the contact tracing. This will require people to try to really search their memories to be accurate. But the point you're bringing up is, what does close contact mean? Close contact has several variables in it. It's how close you were to the other person for how long. And yes, was there plexiglass between you? Were you wearing a cloth face covering? Were they? It plays to the facts behind how COVID-19 is transmitted. And what we know about it is respirating in a closed space with little ventilation together is our highest risk for contracting COVID-19. So let's say I was positive for COVID-19 and breathing out, then a certain amount of virus is coming out of my breath. The person that I'm standing close to is breathing that in with every breath. If we're standing close enough for a long enough amount of time in a space that isn't well ventilated, then the chance of exposure for person B is going to be higher that they will be infected. So those are the kind of questions that an official contact tracer would be asking the person in question. How long were you with the other person? How close were you with them? Were there any barriers between the two of you or more, et cetera? It is known that the touching of surfaces and picking up the virus on surfaces from one person to another is a way to pick up a contagion, but it is less likely than this respirating in close spaces. It even makes a difference if you're outside or if you're in a large room or if there's open windows. All those things are at play, and that's why contact tracers need to be trained to be able to kind of get these details from people that they have to contact.
Another thing that strikes me is if you are in a public setting, say in some kind of shop setting where you don't necessarily maybe shop regularly, the person reporting may say that there was a counter person that I encountered or a salesperson that I encountered. And then it's up to the contact tracer to drill down into the business and figure out who it might have been. And how does that work? Who do they notify then?
That's right. Well, they would ask for a description of the person. If you could give some sort of description, then they would follow up with that place of business, with the business owner, and ask them, you know, the time of day, the day that it happened, who
okay.
was on shift.
A little bit of a description. Detective.
It's a detective story. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So I wanted to go on and explain a little bit more about why this is so important, Leo. From what I've come to understand, and I want to be clear, I'm a journalist and I have no medical training, but I have had the opportunity to spend a lot of time researching this topic. The reason this is so critical is that contact tracing, when done effectively, when done efficiently, within the first 48 hours of a person testing positive, can be a very effective means to have an open ability to function, for people to be able to go to their jobs, for shops to be open and functioning, for the economy to be rolling along, and all of us be able to have some sort of back to normalcy. Because what it does is it finds the virus where it's at and is able to shut it down quickly so that that spread doesn't continue from that source. It's sort of like lopping off the branch of a tree, you know, very rapidly before it can continue to branch out further and further. So it has been shown historically to be an incredibly effective means for people to be able to be moving around in the world, taking care of their lives, and still be containing the virus where these little hot spots, little fires spring up, and you can put them out. That's really the critical importance of it.
I was thinking that you can probably, from your research, point to areas of the world or even the United States or even Minnesota where it's been used effectively during this very pandemic that we're in now.
Sure. A really easy example is South Korea and Singapore have done remarkably good jobs at using contact tracing to contain the virus. And incredibly well. Germany has been another place that has used contact tracing very efficiently, very effectively to keep their numbers of people who are getting very sick or having to use ICU facilities to keep those numbers from being a very drastic peak. What it won't do, and I want to be clear about this, contact tracing doesn't in any way change the fact that people are going to continue to become infected and that this virus is going to continue to spread until there is a vaccination that is effective. But it slows it down. It takes the whole stay at home that we heard so much about in Minnesota and throughout the country to slow down the spread, to flatten the curve, and it allows us to continue to be able to do that while moving around more. As far as where it's being used effectively in the United States, Washington State has done a really nice job with it. They've been able to keep their numbers very low, considering, and they have 100%, when you look at their ratings for how they're doing contact tracing, they're catching all their contacts within 48 hours right now. State of Minnesota is not there yet. The state of Minnesota has been slow to roll out good capacity for contact tracing rapidly. Right now, many of the cases that test positive for COVID-19 in the state of Minnesota are not having complete contact tracing done until 72 hours or longer. And that's not hitting the mark. That's not efficient, because if you go 3 days you start to see an exponential growth in the spread from that first contact. You really need to be able to have, within those first 48 hours, catch all the people they had close contact with in the preceding several days and give them the opportunity to self-isolate and also to monitor them for symptoms and so they get proper treatment and, you know, make sure they're doing well physically as well if they do end up being sick. Another important part of it.
Kitty, I'm speaking with Kitty Mayo today, freelance journalist who's talking to us about the importance of contact tracing during this COVID-19 pandemic. And it occurred to me that it's really important then to answer the question and deal with it in a pretty rapid fashion as to whether what resources or logistics or organizational limitations may be at play, for instance, in our Minnesota response to mobilizing contact tracing. Do we need more money, more people, a better plan, better testing? I'm sorry, that's a laundry list.
It's okay. I'm prepared for that because I have a lot of ideas. I'm glad you asked that question. I guess one of the hopes that I have for bringing this topic forward is that Lake County and Cook County and the communities on the North Shore can figure this out on their own or with the region's help, regardless if the state of Minnesota hands them the tools to do it. The problem, I believe, right now in the state of Minnesota and with the Department of Health is the big departmental system is moving slowly. The understanding is there is that this needs to happen, that it's critical, and that it needs to happen fast. The hiring of people, the training of people, and then the implementation of digitizing this and using phone calls to do it as opposed to actually going in the field and finding the person knocking on their door. Those are the things that have slowed the process so far. I believe that in our regions that we can develop those protocols, procedures, and plans before the surge hits us. There have been a lot of hot spots in Minnesota, not here. So those resources are going to those places as rapidly as they can be rolled out. I'm concerned that when there is a surge in our region, that there will be a lag of implementing these procedures. And I'm wanting people to become educated about it, to talk to their officials and say, how do we make this happen so that when it gets here, we're ready to respond?
And assuming that there's a network of healthcare providers and public health officials that are in conversation on a daily basis, it strikes me that I'm curious as who will have to front the resources, the financial resources, and do the hiring? Is it something that we really don't have a model for having done before, like our small, low population county bringing a number of people onto the scene employed for this specific task-oriented effort?
Indeed. Yes. I think that you're correct that there isn't a model for this in existence already. Who hires these people? Who trains them? Who gives them their protocols of how they go through this process and who digests the information and does the data entry? That doesn't exist yet. And I think that's what the state is struggling to get into place. Again, I believe that at a regional level, there's work being done, and I know that Lake County has been interested in this and are working on it to try and find that procedure along with Lakeview Hospital and the staff there. I know there have been many staff layoffs at the hospital, and those are another resource that could be implemented. Who's going to pay for it? That is an excellent question, Leo.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I asked is I was on one of the situation updates for the state of Minnesota, the Department of Health, and it looked like of a number of like $20 million that had been allocated for specifically for the pandemic during the legislative session, that $18 million had already been spent. And I thought, we need an insurgence of some more money here. It might be one of the issues. So I was a little concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, though, when legislators are looking at those numbers, and indeed, it will require money to make the contact tracing happen because it requires people and a great deal of time, to, as you pointed out, to ask these questions, to patiently be able to drill down, to know which direction to go in with the next question, to not leave any stones unturned. It's a very time-consuming process. It's going to take a lot of employee hours to approach each case with this and do it well. But when you begin to look at the cost of keeping the economy closed versus letting the economy open and have contact tracers do their work, I'm going to guess that there's a really beneficial payoff to that that would be a good investment on the state's part to fund those.
Indeed. And speaking of building the capacity to do this, do you think that we will have the testing regime and resources supply is on hand locally, because we have probably not done very many tests that have yielded this one positive in Lake County. And hopefully people can get tested early enough in the arc of their symptoms so that you're actually able to trace back to when they were probably infectious and about, out and about.
Absolutely. Resources for testing are a critical piece of this. And also, one of the pieces in the puzzle that needed to be in place before we could even talk about reopening and doing contact tracing. And my understanding is that in Lake County at Lakeview Hospital, they have good supplies for testing now, and that anyone with any symptoms similar to the constellation of symptoms that goes with COVID-19 should go in for testing at Lakeview. They are hoping that people will. They want people to come now. And that is a pivot in messaging from where there wasn't enough testing and we were urging people to stay home and monitor their symptoms and not be requiring a test unless they were very, very ill. But that's opened pretty much wide up. Anyone with symptoms should go to Lakeview, or if you doctor in Duluth, and request that test so that we can know if there are active cases. The supplies exist in good amounts for that now. And just over the weekend, there was testing sites for free without questions. Didn't matter if you had symptoms or not. Down at the Duluth Armory, I understand they were trying to run 2,000 tests a day. I don't know if they made that mark.
Wow, I did not hear that. Thanks.
Yeah, and there were four other testing sites around the state that were run the same way, where people could just drive up and be tested for free, no insurance, didn't matter if you had symptoms or not, because the state really is trying to push that number up. The testing supplies are there now.
So that's what I'm hearing around the state. We've got that at least covered. It looks like we're going to be able to do the testing needed, and now we have to ask the questions about where is our plan and where are resources being deployed so that we're ready to contact trace when there is a surge here.
Correct. I want to bring up another point, Leo, that it takes us the idea of contact tracing to just another level, and that's the concept that technology can be used for contact tracing as an adjunct tool to help with it become more rapid in getting that done. And that's the use of smartphones. And there already exist apps. People may have heard Google and Apple work together to put together a contact tracing app. Some states are using those and some states are developing their own. I had the opportunity to talk to several experts who do computer science spatial mapping, which is a whole new world to me. And what they explained to me, Pete Peterson, who is at UMD in the computer science program, explain that this is an incredibly efficient tool for contact tracing and one that we could definitely optimize. It was his opinion that the state of Minnesota will eventually adopt a contact tracing app that will be optional for people to download on their phone and very effective in helping do speedy contact tracing. I talked to another individual, Dr. Shaker, at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis at their Center for Infectious Disease, and he had informed me as well that there is an app that already exists that was developed by Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota that could be easily repurposed by the state of Minnesota to that very end. He was very frustrated that the state hasn't adopted that already. And I think that's something for people to start thinking about, what that would mean if they were to use that app, to become educated on its uses and how that could be helpful, and get their questions answered about privacy concerns, I guess, is the thing I hear the most.
And in fact, I thought perhaps that, I don't know if it's our health department or our governor's latitude to even explore that without legislative consultation, but I imagine there will be a fair amount of pushback and wanting proof that this is worth doing, even with the concerns over the privacy issues.
Mm-hmm. I think that people should raise concerns, because it could be powerful in the hands of the wrong people, for sure.
Right.
And I guess it's a very complex issue. I just finished an article for Business North newspaper in Duluth on the topic, and probably would need a whole other segment to go into depth on that. But I think it is a question people should ask about their privacy. At the end of the day, if it was a system that was developed well, designed well for privacy preservation, I'd download the app. Because as far as it being less expensive than humans doing contact tracing, it's all over that. And it's just incredibly effective, because by using the algorithms that are already in our phone that you can program into these apps, we can know very instantaneously how long we were in contact with a person and how much proximity, how close we were to them. So those answers to the questions that you pointed out at the beginning, that it's kind of hard to remember some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Is we have the answer in our phones already.
You know, Kitty, I've been speaking with Kitty Mayo today on KTWH about contact tracing, and I think this is worthy of a follow-up in a week or two, if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to pose these questions that your research raises with our CEO at Lakeview and with our emergency manager in Lake County in some conversations I have upcoming in the next week. I'll be putting some of your research to good use, asking, I hope, constructive questions, Kitty.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, and I would love to talk to you again about it.
Well, I appreciate your time very much. Thanks for joining us today on KTWH.
Thank you, Leo.
Take care. That was Kitty Mayo, freelance journalist, writes for Business North, and her articles frequently are seen in the North Shore Journal, distributed all throughout the Northland. This is Leo Baybue for KTWH.